Escarpment. This is Indy 101.5 CIOI.
Steel City Music.
Today, hey everyone, some Killjoy action for you. Hey, this is Jamie Gunner-Smith, and you're listening to Steel City Music, and I am your host. It's a show about what's going on around in the greater Hamilton area, and plus interviews and all the other fun rock and roll stuff that has to do with, just fun rock and roll stuff, really. Killjoy's October 1st is happening at the Horseshoe in Toronto, Horseshoe Tavern. Check it out. Hit up their website. Get some tickets. They're only like $17.15 change, so taxes. You look at 20 bones. It's a good time. They haven't played in like 4 or 5 years. I don't know. It's been forever. It's a long saga. It really is. I'm privy to all the inside information, and it takes forever for them to play. But they're playing again, and that's the main thing. So check that out. Let's see what's going on around the old greater Hamilton area. Let's click on the old listings here that you can find on the SCM page on Facebook. That's where I'm drawing everything from. Let's see. Doors Taco Joint and Metal Bar, Aquila Kings and Graves with Fists Open and Demise of Ourselves is happening at the Doors Pub here in Hamilton, Ontario. It sounds like a giant kung fu movie. It really does, and I'm excited by all of that. I get like, remember the Five Deadly Venoms? Remember? You ever see the rerun of that? Oh, great movie. But this, it sounds like a kung fu movie. I'm excited about that. Dave Haas is at the Horseshoe Tavern on Friday, September the 2nd as well. What else we got here? Oh, wait, here we go. The Barrel Rejects are playing the Courtown Pub at 175 Yonge Street here in Hamilton, Ontario on Friday, September the 2nd. Hollowcore is on the bill, Red Lace as well. What's going on at the old Casbaro? The Casbah has Risky Business 80s Night and Patio Party. 80s music through a giant PA. There's some stage props usually. People wandering around, pointing at one another, drinking, laughing, that sort of thing. If that's your vibe, that's the place to be. Okay? It's perfect setting for all of that. Sunday, September 4th, Stupor Crawl down at Lansdale Fairgrounds. Okay. What is this all about? Of course, this is a week the week before Supercrawl is going down. That's what they're saying. Come see us. Barbed Wire Braces are playing. They call it Chaos from Niagara Falls. They got a bunch of bands, so good on them. Have yourself a nice little show at the Supercrawl at Lansdale. All right. Okay. Lansdale Fairground. Okay. Where the hell is that? It's off Wilson Street. All right, then. Fair enough. just go to the SCM page and click on the event, and you'll find out the information there. Another show that's going down at Clifford Brewing. I like to do Clifford's Brewing a lot because I like to say brewing because it makes me feel funny when I say it. Just one of those things, like Worcestershire sauce. It's just one of them weird things. On Friday, September 2nd, the Bleeding Idahos are performing, the Berettas as well. Bryce Clifford and Brother Superior as well, and Burn the Louvre will be playing. Where is that located, Leanne? It's like on Nash, isn't it? Yeah. 398 Nash Road, Unit 1, here in Hamilton, Ontario. Not that far from where I'm living. Maybe, just maybe, I should slide on down there and go check that out. Because I was just listening to it recently, Bryce Clifford did a version of The Replacements, Can't Hardly Wait, and I thought, well, I should throw that in this set as well. So we'll put that music in there. So why don't we, if we could, oh, wait, I forgot, I got to do this other thing. SCM Graham on Instagram, give us a like or a follow. Tag us in any anything that you're doing. And Twitter, Steel City Music as well. Facebook, Steel, are you still on Facebook? I still use the Facebook for promotion, that kind of stuff for Steel City Music. Other than that, I honestly don't know. I feel weird being on Facebook now. I think my time has passed on Facebook. I've been hemming and hawing over this for a while. But anyway, I have it just to be in contact with you. There's a Facebook group. If you're an artist or anything you want mentioned, that sort of stuff, join up, plop it in there. And there you go. What else? Instagram, we covered off on all that. We have the SCM page, yeah. Okay, website, that's right. SteelCityMusic.ca is the website. If you want to get a hold of me and send me an email, click on the contact form. It's jamie@SteelCityMusic.ca. Fire me off a line, and maybe we can do a pre-recorded Zoom chat. I'm still doing a lot of those. I've been trying to get back up into the studio. Actually, both studios, really. But over at the Hawk, I've been supposed to go in on Fridays, but it's been a real busy summer, so I'm doing a lot of pre-recorded shows again. So this is what this is right now. Eventually I want to get back up and doing a live show on the Fridays. So, but there you go. But I've been doing a lot of pre-recorded Zoom chats, so they've been a lot of fun. All right. So in this set, some Burn the Louvre, Bryce Clifford, and we'll kick things off with the Bleeding Idahos, Oklahoma City Fever. Really catchy track. You're hanging out on Steel City Music. We'll be right back.
feeling a young, wild, and free. Oh, well, my pop told me as you get a little older, everything comes up to speed, boy. Still, I could not construe nicer in the summer, but nothing beats her highlight reel. My, I miss you, please won't you come over, you're my left Achilles heel. She said, only if you introduce me to your brother. I smiled and told her it's a deal. Still I could not construe all the things that she can do. All the rest were number two since she came and blew me away. And she couldn't convey all the things she wants to say. Take her hand and run away and leave our bags unpacked now.
We'll be right back.
Hey, a little Bryce Clifford action and Brother Superior doing a cover of The Replacements. Can't hardly wait. You're listening to Steel City Music, and I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. I've been doing a series of interviews for Gussapalooza that's coming up, I think, like September 16th, 17th, 18th, or 17th, 18th, 19th. Top of my head, I don't know why I don't look up stuff ahead of time. I'm bad, you know that. But I've been having a lot of fun talking to different acts. And one of them, recently I chatted with Tennyson King. He actually went to school here, I found out, in Hamilton at McMaster, the same time New York Kells did. He was playing in bands. He played around Hamilton for a little bit. And then he went off to do the solo thing, traveled everywhere around the world. Well, a better part of the world. And I'm very envious when people tell me stories like that. So there is a little tinge of jealousy when I listen to him talk about the places that he's been, especially going to China and the bullet train. And though he did go to Australia and, you know, I think he like swam with sharks and stuff like that. So immediately my back got up because I'm terrified of sharks. But anyway, cool dude. Check out his music. And here's the chat right here for you. You're listening to Steel City Music, and I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith, doing the old pre-recorded Zoom chat. And it's a necessity. It's not like I can find this cat easily around internationally around the world right now. It's like I can't say, hey, Tennyson, come in. Let's go to the studio. Let's have a chat. No. We're talking to an international touring guy. This is what he does for a living. And he looks like he's very comfortable on Zoom right now in his home. Tennyson King, thanks for coming on Steel City Music.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Gussapalooza's coming up, buddy. You're going to be coming in the old Southern Ontario market September 16th to the 18th?
Yeah, September 16th to 18th, exactly.
Yeah, do you know when you're going to be on stage?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing on the Sunday the 18th at 5 p.m. on the singer-songwriter stage.
Oh, perfecto. Well, I guess that would totally make sense to have you on that. After listening to your music, I fell right into the groove of Tennyson King listening to your songs. It was nice. It was good. It had a nice earthy, rootsy feel to it. There's a little bit of rock tinge pop in certain elements. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I started falling down the whole music thing when I was listening to you, because I started clicking on all these different links. And I was like going, okay, well, wait a minute. Where exactly is he from? Is this guy a BC native, or does he have a Chinese citizenship? Because from what I'm reading, you're zipping all over the globe, and I'm thinking, how does one get a chance to go play in China?
Well, I mean, I have Hong Kong citizenship, so I was born there,
right?
And then I came to Canada and actually grew up in Mississauga for the good portion of my life. And actually I lived in Hamilton too for 5 years.
I'm so sorry.
You know, Hamilton's a great city. I lived there when I went to McMaster.
Right.
Because I went to university there, actually the same time as Max and the dudes from Arkells went there. So I was at school. But yeah, so Hamilton's a cool city. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, so that's how I go to Hong Kong and China to tour as well, because that's my home.
I think it's great that I read that I was reading that, because, and the fact that you just said that you actually spent 5 years here, it just makes me laugh even harder. The fact that you're trying to be nice about it. It's like, yeah, you know, hey man, don't knock it. I've been everywhere on the planet and Hamilton's not that bad. I'm still not buying it. I live here. So there you go.
All right. Fair enough.
Hey, so how does reading up on you, How does it work with you? Because if you said this, you went to school here for 5 years, were you into music then? Or was this just something that has always been in the background? And because you went to school, you lived here for 5 years. So I'm thinking, okay, so you went to school.
Yeah.
You went for something.
Yeah, I was there for something. I wasn't there for music, though. I was actually there for communication.
Right.
And yeah, music was always a dream in my mind that I wanted to do since I was young. But I didn't really actualize it till it was after university, a few years after too, and after traveling a bit. And just, I started thinking about what I wanted to do with my life. And music was that thing that was always sitting in my mind. So I figured I would just give it a try. And fast forward 7 years later, I'm still trying it.
How did you get up the guts to get up on stage then? Because as you just said, hey, it's always been there. I always wanted to do it. What point was it like, all right, there's an open mic. Was it an open mic? Did someone invite you on a show after hearing you somewhere?
Yeah. I mean, the first, I was playing when I was in high school. Just in fun battle of the bands, nothing serious. So I always did play music. I just never took it seriously. It was just kind of a fun hobby to do with friends. And I think the first time I played was in high school at a battle of the bands. And it didn't go well at all. But
they never do. Exactly. Like your story is going to be oh so different. Okay.
Yeah. And then and then in university, I did a couple of open mics here and there at McMaster University. Again, nothing crazy, just once in a while in a blue moon. And then after all that, I decided to just start playing and started a band with some friends in Mississauga, actually. And we just started playing random shows, and which also didn't go well at all until finally it started going well.
Yeah, until finally something hit, right?
Yeah.
Now, what made you go off and do the solo thing from the band thing?
You know what? I love traveling, and I realized after touring with different band outfits that it was going to be hard to get bands of 4 to 6 people to commit to touring for like a month or 2 months or even taking music seriously full time. To get 6 people or 5 people or 4 on the exact same page is tough. I think that's the hardest thing about a band is just meeting the right people. Like everything needs to align. And I just didn't meet the right people that had the same alignment for that time period of my life. So I thought that if I wanted to do this full time and travel and do what I want with it, I need to do it on my own, at least to start.
And you've been doing it now for 7 years by yourself.
I've only been doing this solo singer songwriter thing for about 5 years now. But now I do play with bands and different outfits. Like I hired my bandmates to come out to play certain festivals and shows with me.
Right.
But I am predominantly solo for most part.
That's where the money is, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I learned that at a young age, meeting other people. It was just like, if I could make money, just my guitars and in a car, and that's the end of it, then, you know, you own your own house and that's the end of it. You're not fighting with people over per diems or anything else.
Exactly.
Who sleeps on the bench in the van. So that's pretty good on you, man.
Yeah.
So doing some of the readings of some of the places that you've been around, around the world, you know, taking the bullet train. See, for me, it's just like, I've done some traveling myself and I like what you say. Just like, oh man, you know, I love the travel and try to have people in the same mindset. But there's also that other side of me, which is like, I'm excited to read that. Yeah, you took the bullet train through China and you got to play over there. And even as far as Tasmania but there's also this other side of me where I'm like, what if a great white shark attacks me while I'm down in Australia? Like, what if like, if you're playing all those places, and I know this is so stupid and I'm hijacking the interview, but I got to ask you, there's so many spiders and snakes down towards Australia and Tasmania and those in New Zealand, all those places. And it's like, and all I'm thinking is like, if I got to wake up every day and look into my guitar case or whatever, or flip my boots to make sure there's nothing in there or constantly, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could get up on stage and perform.
I'll tell you something. When I'm actually out touring in Australia and on that oceanic side of the world, I actually purposely on my days off go scuba diving with sharks. that's kind of a bit of a hobby of mine. And I like that danger. I think it, you know, gives me something to write about.
You're like one of those vloggers now. Now you're not even a musician. Now you're just a vlogger to me. Some insane vlogger.
But no, it's great. Like I think it's just all part of the adventure, and I love having experiences and trying different things. And Australia, it's not as crazy as I think people think it is. There's not like spiders just walking around everywhere eat you.
I'm not according to TikTok. I'm sorry, sir. Yeah. Not according to TikTok. If you're just tuning in to Steel City Music, I'm your host, Jamie Gunnersmith. My special guest right now is Tennyson King. We're chatting about touring and being a singer-songwriter, and we're going to get to his music, I swear to God. Once I get past this anxiety attack I'm having right now about traveling to Australia. Talk to us about the music that you're writing. You've been doing this for 5 years, and of course you said you had the band thing. Mm-hmm. But where does it start for you for writing your style of music? Because there's some descriptions that there's like a little psychedelic thing there. To me, I thought you were like straight up hippiedom for a bit there on some of the songs. I'm like going, oh, that's why I said the Kelowna thing. I'm like going, okay, this guy's doing a lot of Western Canada dates. Like, is that his vibe? Because I know you're not, you know, DOA style punk that comes out of like the old punk style of BC. But where does it start for the writing for you? Because is it just the experiences from traveling, or is it from reading? Like, where are you getting all your inspiration from?
Yeah, I mean, when I first kind of parted ways with the band, I was already fully writing my own stuff while I was writing with the band. I used to play in a hip hop band and like a jazz band and rock country band and stuff. But while I was doing that, I was writing my own stuff. And it first started with just, you know, personal experiences, writing about my past. It was really a type of therapy for me at first, just dealing with past traumas and using writing and music to help with that. So I first started with that, and it just felt great to write that out and actually sing it out loud and perform it. And from there, those songs launched me into being able to tour and perform more. And then my writing became a lot more about my passion for experiencing cultures and community and traveling. So my last record that I just recorded, Good Company, was heavily written within the past 3 years of me touring and traveling in China, Southeast Asia, Australia, and Canada, and gathering all those experiences and how I've been, you know, reflecting on how I've been understanding and seeing the world and how other people have been seeing me as well. So recently, that's been the major inspiration for that.
The last 3 years, so you gained the inspiration for that album. So how does it work for you for writing then? Is it when you're on the road, you're like, okay, I have an idea for a song, that sort of thing, and then you wait till you get home to collaborate with others or to go into a studio, or do you DIY it when you get home, or are you doing everything on the road producing it?
Yeah, on the road, I'm not the best at writing full stuff on the road. I'm trying to get better, but I'm great at making voice memo clips. So I've got like thousands of voice memo clips on my phone. And I always, once I get an idea, either a lyric, a melody, or a guitar progression or something, I'll just record it quickly. And then when I'm not touring, I'll dedicate, you know, like a month or however long I can to just going through everything and then turning them into songs. So COVID was actually great for that, because I obsessively love touring and traveling. So it's actually hard sometimes for me to say, okay, I'm going to sit down in this place for 2 months and just make a record. But COVID really forced me to do that. And I stayed in Toronto, and I just was able to work. I was working with Ross Hayes DiTrullo, based out of Toronto, a producer, and just kind of tied down all the songs and figured it all out and then recorded it. So that is generally how I do songwriting and recording.
Is that person your gatekeeper? Or is that the same producer you work on all the time? Or is there like someone aside that's a producer where you bounce something off and go, is this any good? What do you think?
I don't have one consistent person. I probably have a couple of good, like a handful of musician friends and colleagues, if you will, that I'll send ideas to and get their thoughts. But so far I've worked with a different producer for the three different records I've put out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, I kind of start that process first, and then I bring it to the producer and then get their thought and then probably do some rearranging with them as well.
What are we doing for 2023? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm planning to go back to Australia in a few months, actually, for a tour again.
Of course you are. You're gonna hand feed great white sharks from your mouth. Of course you are. Yeah.
I love that image of that.
Kisses, yeah.
Okay. That'd be a wicked album cover. Just kind of like a Jaws vibe underwater.
Yeah, more things for you to scare me with. Thank you.
But I'm going to go back and do some touring and just get a break from winter here And I'll be also doing some writing out there as well. So yeah, going out there and then coming back in 2023 to work on the next record and do some more Canada performances and hopefully more international shows too. But I'm still, you know, still kind of waiting to see with different restrictions, like just.
Well, yeah, because we don't know if there's going to be Deathcron 54,000 version of something coming out, but
yeah, exactly.
You know, and you know, we have no idea if Putin's going to try to invade all of Europe. We have no idea, you know.
Yeah, so taking it day by day. That's all you can really do right now.
That's a great little line. Maybe that should be your next album title. Taking the, instead of the stupid great white shark kissing people, whatever.
That was your idea.
Yeah, nobody said it was a great album cover though, because I'm such a chicken. Hey, how do we find you? Find out more about you, sir. Where do we go online?
Yeah, you can. My website's always great, KennethandKing.com or Instagram. I'm always posting stuff on there at KennethandKing. I've even started doing a lot of TikTok stuff, and recently had an actually hilarious video of me playing this guitar, this moose. So I was at the show in Hope, BC, playing this outdoor festival, and this dude came up to me after and had a guitar made out of a moose antler. It was so epic, man. And he's like, can you play this, just rock out on it a bit after the show? So I was just playing it, and we got a little video clip, and I posted it on TikTok, and that kind of went mini viral, or I don't know, normal viral. I don't know what the things are these days. But yeah, so I'm trying to do TikTok stuff too now, and you know, on Facebook, Tennyson King. Yeah.
I thought, no, that's a great story, by the way. I'm totally finding that video. I'm going to put it on my website.
Yeah,
I thought for a second there was going to be that uncomfortable moment when the person says, "Oh, it's okay if I get up and jam with this." It's like, no.
Oh, yeah. He was quite cool. He had all these instruments made out of taxidermy stuff. So he had a banjo that was made out of a smaller antler, and the other moose antler was a bass guitar. So he had one was the electric guitar, one was the soul.
How nice. Cool. Yeah. It's a gateway to becoming a serial killer. I'm sure of it. And you encouraged it, and you want to play with them. That's awesome. Take them to Australia with them. Feed them to the shark, buddy. Hey, man, thanks for the interview.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate it, Jamie. Hey, this is Tennyson King, and you're listening to Steel City Music.
It ain't easy when walls come tumbling down. Is it hate?
like you can't be loved. Do you hear me? I love you with all I've got. You know I'm not the only one. You're shining on you like the sun. When you're down. Gonna move their feet.
Get down.
Everybody's gonna leave their seat.
You gotta lose your mind in Detroit, Rock City. Get up.
Everybody's gonna move their feet.
Get down.
Everybody's gonna leave their seat.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
All right, you're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. And the next person I had a chat with was Rena Krangel. She's also performing on Gussapalooza as well. And it was fun to chat with her. It turns out that we have some similar friends, i.e. Tom Wilson. And she actually did the music for a book, I believe, that was put out. He did the artwork for it. And anyway, it's a long story, but I think we have that in the interview. But we touch upon her music, where she's playing, her inspiration, and all the other fun stuff that you do when you have a casual chat with a creative person like Rena. And check out her music, and hopefully I get to have another chance to do a follow-up interview with her to see if she ends up playing somewhere in Hamilton. That'd be super cool. Here it is. Hey, you're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith, and we're doing the old dreaded pre-recorded Zoom chat because it's a pre-recorded show. We're not back in the studios. I mean, we were in the studios, and it got summer, and then things happen, and I'm not in the studio, but yada, yada, yiddy. I'm on Zoom with Rena Krangel right now. Hi, and we just did the whole thing. Oh my God, you know this person.
I
know
so
that
much
person.
About you.
Yeah, I know.
Think I was would... doing the interview.
It felt that way, and which is great, because if we would have put all of that in this interview, everyone would be just like, oh no, I'll have none of that. I don't want to hear any more about that guy, you know. So, but it's great that you and I get this chance to chat, because you have a show coming up come September. Is it September 18th at Gussapalooza?
That's right. Yeah, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock singer-songwriter stage. Is that what's going down?
At the acoustic stage.
Okay, so let's just get right into it. When I was doing my pre-research on you over the last little while, and I'm just like, who? And also, just to let everyone know, you and I almost chatted a couple of weeks ago, and you're like, I'm in Costa Rica, and in my brain, I thought, you bitch.
You should have interviewed me there. You could have seen it.
I know. Yeah. Oh, good. I feel so good about myself. Oh.
Well, that was my screensaver anyway, so.
Yeah, I know. But then I thought, okay, let's do an interview. Like, who wants to do an interview when they're in Costa Rica? And I'm just like, why would I want to chat with someone if I'm in Costa Rica? Like, I left this part of the world to detach from that part of the world, to be in this part of the world.
Well, yeah, but you know, I was just chilling on the beach, so it was okay.
Wow.
It was fine. I could have done it, but much better that we do it now. Cause
yeah, but there's...
I'm in my studio and, you know, it's easier.
Yeah, but I mean, I just thought, here you are. I'd lose it on you if I was, like, related to you and we were, like, on vacation or something. I mean, just like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You know, you can go back to the stinky Ontario anytime. Like, you're not going to be Costa Rica. What were you doing in Costa Rica, by the way?
I went to visit and play some music, actually, too.
Oh, so it was work related. Cool. How long were you there for?
3 weeks.
Oh, I hate you so much.
And I'm already looking to go back. Yeah, it was really beautiful. Beautiful place, beautiful people.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad that you did it. I always encourage everyone to leave and go somewhere and express. And when I was doing my readings on you, I was just like, you reminded me of an interview I did the other day with Tennyson King. He's from Ontario. And he started traveling the world. He was like going to Australia, and he's going to Hong Kong and China. He's traveling all these places. And he has that international singer-songwriter touring vibe. So when I was doing some stuff on you, I'm looking at you like, you're walking on a beach. There's Tofino. There's this. There's that. And I'm like going, all these people are living their lives. It's like, it's amazing.
Well, but only part-time. You know, we're not there the whole time.
It looks that way for you, though, dude. So, which leads me into the writing of the music. Are we getting the inspiration from stuff that happens in your work life aside from your singers, like from what you do creatively, which is you right now performing, or are you experiencing these songs through what you're seeing?
I think it's a lot of things, actually. Sometimes I'm inspired by things that happen, just events around me. Sometimes, you know, like I have a song that I wrote just after reading an article about Bob Dylan's basement tapes being re-released and the state of the record business these days. So I ended up writing The Living Room Takes, which mm-hmm. I'm thinking I might change the title to Everyone's a Star, because that's kind of what it's about. And yeah. Just the state of the music business these days. I haven't recorded that one yet, but I will be playing it at Guzzapalooza. And I don't know. So sometimes the inspirations are things like articles I read or things I see, or right. Sometimes like in My Beautiful Dear, that actually came to me in a dream. I often get melodies in my sleep, which is just incredible. Like I'm so lucky that happens to me.
I forget my dreams, luckily, like a couple minutes afterwards.
Well, you usually do. And that's why you got to like, I get out my phone and I record the melody quickly before I forget it. Cause yeah, you'll forget it within a few minutes. So I'm half asleep and I record this melody and then I work with it the rest of the day.
That, well, okay. All right.
Cause I have the feeling of it, you know?
If I was married to you and you're always talking into your phone, I'd be just like, oh, this is wrong. Because she's obviously saying something horrible about me into this phone.
No, I just wake up and I sing it, like half asleep, and I remember the melody.
God. I don't know. She sounds like she's okay. Never mind. My imagination is going wrong. All of a sudden, you're just.
I don't
like,
know what you're talking about.
She's possessed. She's possessed, but she's turned into song, right. So it's making her living. This is not such a bad thing.
The music came to her again.
That's good.
Let's have another good song.
Perfect. That's a perfect explanation for all of that. So that's the process. That's the process you go through. You just you kind of absorbing everything from a day to day basis. You're not actually going to like a pilgrimage to get inspired by something.
No, I find I'm inspired just by so many things in life. Like I don't have trouble finding inspiration at all.
It just comes natural just from what you're absorbing.
Yeah. And you know, I think if you just, for me anyway, if I just sit down and play the guitar just with no expectations and just completely in flow and feeling the music, for me, usually the music comes first and then the words.
And the words, yeah.
When I had a concussion a while ago, it came to me all at once and it just was a different flow. And that's kind of how My Beautiful Dear happened. And, which was the single I released before West Coast Huck Finn.
Right.
And I'm much better now. And so now I'm kind of back to the same writing process, but it's interesting how it changed.
When you say you experienced a concussion before the concussion, it was not as strongly, just not everything hit you at once. It was like a slower process. But when you got the concussion and you're writing afterwards, are you saying that everything just came at you right away?
Everything was just open and in flow in a totally different way. And I've read about this before. Like I read about some guy who didn't even play piano and became a savant after, you know, like it's just strange how those things can happen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like that's I've never heard. I've heard of that story before, but I've never heard of someone getting all of these things all at once, because that must be a little maddening to be able to decipher all those signals at once.
Well, what I mean by that is like instead of the music coming first and then I write the words, I would sit to play because I'd have a short window of opportunity to play before I'd be really exhausted and I couldn't play anymore.
Sure.
And so then the words and the music would hit me all at once. Like it would just come naturally. I mean, obviously I would tweak the words. Like, it might not have been good words. I don't know. But,
right.
you know, I'm still working on those songs. But it was just interesting how the flow changed. But I was, like, so much more open to,
right.
to it.
Do you recall how long it took after those first experiences for it to level out again to what you were used to?
I'd say until about now, which was like 3 years later.
Three years of getting back to what you were used to. Wow.
Well, maybe two and a half. Like, yeah, just to a different process. Yeah, something like that.
I'm not going to quibble over two and a half and three. I mean, even like a year's time would seem monumental to me, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a lot to take.
Yeah.
So now you're back to the way you used to, be.
I feel back to normal in terms of being able to play with the band and stuff. Although, you know, sometimes there's still challenges depending on what I've done that day and stuff. But
sure.
But I feel much better to play with the band. So we've been practicing and having some great band practices, and yeah.
You sound excited over it. It must be comforting, though, to have a band play with you where you can step back for a bit and let them take over a little bit of the performance aspect on stage.
Well, yes. It's totally different when I play singer-songwriter solo shows. That's totally different. Yeah. And then when you play with the band, you know, the songs take on a different feel and everything. And I'm still playing guitar, but sometimes it's nice because some of the songs I don't have to play. I can let them do it. And I sometimes would just rather sing and not think about everything else at the same time. So, right.
Well, yeah, you can, it's just a comforting switch from being just like, because all eyes are on you when you're just playing solo. Like everything is just like, if you play a note wrong, you hear it. And like, come on, really? I know this. I wrote this, right?
And then
if someone else in the band does it, you go, yeah, that's good on you. Thanks. Not on me. Hey, if you're just tuning into Steel City Music, I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. My special guest right now is Raina Kringle. She just spent 5 years in Costa Rica on a beach, rubbing all of our faces into it. She knows a dear friend of mine, Tom Wilson, and we were laughing at his expense before the interview started.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. Never apologize to that man. He owes everyone an apology for the rest of his life, and he knows it too. The most recent single, it's Huck Finn. West Coast Huck Finn.
Yeah.
And I was joking with you before we started the interview. It was just about questions because I said, there's no math. There's zero math in my interviews. But you were kind of like curious about what type of questions I would be asking. And I wasn't going to ask you about, in this passage of Huck Finn, did you find inspiration of blah, blah, blah? Like when you're
I don't really remember the book, but the analogy, I mean, I obviously did read the book, but I think the analogy of the song of using that reference is just like, you know, West Coast is kind of like Huck Finn's kind of like a free spirit, like nomad kind of thing. And that song was written from my travels out west and just experiences, and it's sort of like the nomad traveler, the West Coast traveler kind of.
That's your latest single.
Yeah.
When did you release that?
2021. I can't remember the month actually.
But it's the most recent one. Okay.
Yeah, so,
Which leads me into. You have a back catalog of music that you've been going over since like 2016, I believe. But now, just before the interview started, we were like throwing names at one another, and you said that is going to.
Don't say that out loud. No, we haven't stamped that out. That's just
see where I said that. That's where the magic of a beep goes into.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
I mean, I think he accepted that, and we have to talk about it. But
okay.
Yeah, I'm really all excited right. about that possibility.
Well, I'm excited about Beep Beep producing your next album. So the timelines on that will be 2023 possibly or 2024?
I'm not quite sure because it depends. I'm also applying for some Factor grants, which would really help.
Right, but regardless of that, though, you do have enough material rolling in.
Oh, I have plenty. I'm ready to do it now.
Right.
Like, plenty of material, yeah. I have a lot of songs I haven't finished. Like, I haven't actually recorded. Finished them, but not recorded.
Over the last 5 years, or just from most your recent experiences? Like, because there's stuff that carries over for years. You always hear that story.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, of bands or people going into a studio with someone, and they're like going, okay, we got 6 songs. And the producer looks and goes, what?
Those are crap.
We got to whittle this down, and they're crap. So, you know, and then you hear other people just like, oh, I have over 300 songs. And the producer looks at them and goes, well, are any of them good? You know, like, there has to be a comfortable medium of, this is what I've been creating, and does this fit with what we're doing, right?
So, the idea of the next album is called Headbangers, a musical recovery of mild traumatic brain injury. And I wrote 8 songs in that time period. A couple of them I still want to work on, mm-hmm. and I might substitute for some other songs that I really love that I think are better that I haven't recorded yet. So they won't all entirely be from that period, but I did have like an incredible amount of flow and writing at that like recovery time. Mm-hmm. So that's what we were talking about, how the music and the words just kind of seem to come all at once. So my creative process changed a bit. And so that's sort of the premise of the next album, how music heals, and a lot of the songs from that healing.
That's great. I'm curious to see how this is going to turn out for you in 2023. If that person that we mentioned, that we shouldn't mention, that we just beeped out, actually does it. How does everyone find you online? Where do we go to find out more about you? All your Linktree and your Instagram and all your tiki talkies. Do we got to contact Eric Alper and get the inside scoop?
You can contact Eric. He would love to talk to you. Okay. You can find me wherever you hear your music. So streaming wherever, YouTube Music, Apple, iTunes, Pandora, USA, wherever you stream. And
rattled off
Instagram,
a lot,
Facebook,
that.
Twitter, you know, I haven't delved into TikTok yet. I'm, you know, it's a lot to manage all these other sites. Like, how many can we do? You know,
yeah,
it's overwhelming sometimes.
That got brought up with me a while ago. Everyone said, well, you're on TikTok and you have these followers. How come you haven't put anything out yet? And I'm like, I'm not as creative as everyone else is. Like, like, I can't just walk around and go, a sandwich, make a duet with me. Look at us. We're making a sandwich. Like,
well, and you're like spending your whole life posting. Like, you're not actually living life. You hold on a second. This is a postable moment. Everything just becomes.
I know.
It's too much. Like, I try to be engaging, but it's a lot of.
That's why
work.
I was legit angry that you went to Costa Rica for 3 weeks. Like, I had a flash of anger. Like, she went for 3 weeks and she wanted to do an interview. Are you crazy? I would love to, like, go do that. I couldn't be on TikTok going, oh, look, I'm eating something. I made a sandwich. Let's be like, I don't have it. I try not to have it. Hey, everyone, go to renakringle.com if you want to find out more information. She has everything up there from her latest singles, and all the streaming platforms are all there. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thank you so much for the interview. It was so nice to meet you. And I'm really looking forward to Guzzapalooza, and maybe I'll see you there. I don't know. Live.
I will be the big shaved headed white albino looking man wandering around going, I need sunscreen. Please.
Make sure you wear sunscreen.
I will. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Hey, this is Raina Krangle, and you're listening to Steel City Music.
Snow peaks of Revelstoke. The light will shine away for us forever.